This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Consumers weren't rushing to buy last month, which means Wall Street investors are rushing to sell.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you and welcome to the Morning Open. I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. 1.2% might not sound like a big number, but it marks the biggest drop in retail sales in 8 months. The Commerce Department reports everything was affected in May, from clothing to cars. And since consumer spending is the main engine driving our economy, investors have reason to worry whether this is a sign the recovery might be slipping. So where's Wall Street? Well, the reaction is falling into place. Emphasis on the falling. The Dow's dropped 68 points out of the gate, down 2/3 of 1%. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 have both pulled back by similar margins. Let's see if we can find any mitigating factors in these latest numbers with the help of Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Good morning, Chris. Or is it what happened to the shoppers last month?
Good morning. Well, you know, it does look like consumers took a break in May after increases in sales in March and April. I think a big part of what happened is that some of these sales were front-loaded earlier in the spring. Retailers actually warned us clothing sales were up so much in March, they had to fall back at some point, and fall back they did in May.
Building materials dropped almost 10%. Is that related to the expiration of the home buyer's tax credit, do you think?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, you've got this big drop in building materials in May, but in March and April, building material sales were up more than 8% back-to-back. It looks like people spent a lot of money to spruce up homes and sell them. Now they don't have to do that.
Now, I think it's safe to say you're ever the optimist for us here. Even last week with the tepid jobs report, you were sunny. How about now?
Well, I'll put it this way. I am still optimistic. The big weakness in May is in areas where sales were front-loaded earlier in the quarter. But having said that, the market's in no mood for excuses. I'd watch for falling stocks today.
Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Starting today with a handful of stocks and adding several hundred more by the middle of next week, federal regulators are imposing new so-called circuit breakers or shock absorbers, perhaps just in time. They're aimed at preventing a repeat of the mysterious crash that sent some stock prices tumbling to near zero and whipped them back up like a bungee cord a month ago. Here's the deal, though. Regulators say they still don't know what happened that day. Even so, they're hoping to keep it from happening again. In New York, Marketplace's Elisa Roth explains.
The circuit breaker is essentially a timeout. If the price of certain stocks goes up or down more than 10% within 5 minutes, then trading in that stock will be stopped for 5 minutes. Roderick Hills was chair of the Securities and Exchange Commission in the mid-70s. He says circuit breakers like these may or may not actually prevent another flash crash.
There's something that treats a symptom. They don't really deal with anything that you would call a cause.
That's partly because we still don't know what made it happen last time. There already are some circuit breakers in place, but the crash in May didn't trigger any of them. David Reuter was chair of the SEC in the 80s. He says trying a new kind of circuit breaker is a perfectly reasonable idea.
In the face of imperfect information, my choice would be to do something and see whether it has the effect you'd like.
The trial period will go on until the end of the year. After that, regulators will decide whether to make them permanent and whether to include more stocks. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Friday, June 11th at marketplace.org. A coalition of drug companies release a new database on Alzheimer's disease today. The companies pooled their resources in cooperation with the Food and Drug Administration. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports the idea is to lower the cost of research and development and get new drugs to the market faster.
The new database includes information on 11 clinical trials involving 4,000 Alzheimer's patients. The FDA and researchers around the world will have access to the information. They'll be able to pull up the patient's MRIs and scores from mental acuity tests. Dr. Raymond Woosley heads the Critical Path Institute, which helped create the database. He says it will give drug developers a head start.
You can find out if a drug is really working without having to do a 5-year trial.
And since the FDA will be using the same database, it may take less time to get new drugs approved. It could also be cheaper. Woosley says it costs a lot for drug makers to create new medications working on their own.
The failure rate during development, the cost of development, have created a real untenable business model.
Woosley says drug companies are usually reluctant to share the results of years of expensive research, plus they're wary of antitrust laws. But an army of lawyers signed off on the new database, and another one is in the works, this time for Parkinson's disease. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Tax season just ended in Greece, which happens to be home to Europe's most notorious dodgers of the tax man. Now that the country is battling bankruptcy, though, Greece is going after the cheaters this year. From Athens, Joanna Kakissis reports.
It's a frantic morning at Yannis Kapeleris' office. He's the top financial crimes investigator in Greece. And his job is to track down tax evaders, who could be anyone from plumbers to pop singers to politicians.
It's our main goal to get tax evaders to pay because, as you know, the government here has implemented some strong austerity measures that are really weighing down the working people.
Kapeleris knows what he's up against. At least 10% of Greece's gross domestic product isn't taxed at all. That's $37 billion a year. Yannis Tsarmougelis is an economics professor at the University of the Aegean. He says part of the problem is that tax evaders aren't scared of getting caught.
We have a very weak legal system that does not allow someone that evades taxation, for instance, to be facing a sentence to jail, to go to jail.
He says another big reason Greeks don't pay their taxes is because they don't trust the government. Many people here call their politicians kleftes. That's the Greek word for thieves. At this recent protest outside Parliament, I talked to a store manager named Dimitri. He says politicians stole so much taxpayer money over the past 50 years that they've bankrupted Greece.
I want people that robbed us to give back the money. It's not enough for them to get into jail. Because if they get into jail, we're going to be paying for their food in the jail.
Tax investigator Yannis Kapeleris says he wants people to trust that this government won't be corrupt. He says he has hundreds of investigators working from dawn until midnight to make sure everyone pays their taxes this year.
I think people really want justice. They want tax evaders brought to justice.
His office has already fined tax evaders more than $2 billion. That's 4 times more than during the same period last year. And in Greece, that's progress. In Athens, I'm Joanna Kakissis for Marketplace.
BP is facing even more questions this morning over its massive oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico. The first question is how big the leak really is. Government scientists today say it might be twice as big as we've been led to believe. Another question, what's BP's financial status? The British oil giant tells the Wall Street Journal that its dividend payouts to shareholders could be cut. Economics editor Peter Coy poses some questions about BP's future in this week's Bloomberg Businessweek magazine. He's joining us live now with some of the answers he's been able to come up with. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
So what about the status, first of all, of BP's dividend?
The first quarter dividend is almost certain to be paid out. It's already been approved by the board, and checks are just about on the way. The question now is about what might happen to the second quarter. The decision on that will be made on July 27th, well after the end of the second quarter. And the thinking now by most analysts is that it probably will still be paid, but I think that Tony Hayward, the CEO of BP, is trying to keep his options open with those comments about how no decisions have been made yet.
Well, what about all this growing speculation about whether BP could go bankrupt?
Okay, I would say it's probably not going to go bankrupt. People have noticed the falling stock price, the rising cost of credit default swaps, the falling bond prices, and extrapolated from that to bankruptcy. Well, the company still has a market value of $100 billion, which means that the market's estimation is that even after it pays all the claims that it's expected to pay, it'll have a remaining value of $100 billion, which is nowhere near bankruptcy territory.
Well, there are other alternatives here. Briefly, is anyone going to go to prison over this?
Our story this week concludes that probably no one will go to prison. It's just that the standard for a prison term is so high, it's much more likely that there could be some guilty pleas that would be dealt with through fines or things like that. But even in the case of Exxon Valdez, where we had the ship running aground, even the captain of the ship served community service, but not prison.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can read more of Peter Coy's take on the BP mess in Bloomberg Businessweek magazine. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
And for more now on BP, there are signs the British business and political communities are rallying to support the battered company. But that support comes just as the news is about to get worse. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich reports.
President Obama this week told the huge Today Show television audience he's figuring out who's you-know-what to kick over the Gulf oil spill. It's clear in London just whose bum he's aiming for. And Caroline Bain of the Economist Intelligence Unit says there's a growing resentment that the president doth protest too much.
There is a feeling that perhaps because of Obama's quite precarious position himself at home on this issue, that he's using BP as a bit of a scapegoat.
The mayor of London has called Obama anti-British. Meanwhile, Obama has suggested he would have fired BP CEO Tony Hayward and that BP should put off its dividend payments to investors. That could be a hard sell in a country where many people rely on BP stock in their retirement plans. British Prime Minister David Cameron is hoping to cool things down in a phone call this weekend. But his conversation with Obama will come as government scientists now estimate the spill may be twice as large as we thought. I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
And finally, there's a new boutique on Rodeo Drive run by a company called Vertu. And in case you weren't invited to the gala grand opening party this week, they had on display a handcrafted platinum and black leather, ruby encrusted, 83-carat sapphire studded cell phone. Like most things in Beverly Hills, if you have to ask, you probably can't afford it, but if you insist, you can take one home for $70,000. And the LA Times reports you don't even have to buy it with a 2-year contract. Such a deal. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.